Welcome to the Mark and Pete Show.
Hello, and spookily welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. Colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week, we debate how to handle Halloween. Well, it's that unpleasant time of the year when ghosts and ghoulies come wandering down the street and knocking on your door. What with me today is Clergyman Pete, who's going to explain what it really all means. Why is it that we seem to get this strange behaviour from people where they suddenly manifest themselves into strange little monsters? Well, Clergyman Pete, can you explain to me why it is you're looking slightly more off colour than usual?
Yes. Well, of course, I like to get into the spirit of things and daub myself in fresh blood. The thing about Halloween is it just leaves a nasty taste in the mouth, and I don't mean from the apple bobbing in dirty water. What I mean is quite obviously a celebration of evil. Now, having said that, I just have to have a confession here. I like the idea of bonfire night gunpowder plot. I was going to say, remember the 5th of November and all that rot. You know. Now, at this time of year, in years gone by, here in the UK of England, we used to have a celebration of Halloween, but the bigger celebration always used to be, we're talking in my youth, so many, many years ago, there used to be a celebration of this bonfire night or the gunpowder plot or Guy Fawkes night, whatever you want to call it, the various names of it, celebrating that we caught a Roman Catholic terrorist who's going to blow up Parliament and the King. Now, I say that it's a bit of a confession, but of course, that's quite horrible, isn't it? Because they burn him alive. So I find they're celebrating burning a Catholic on a huge bonfire more tasteful than people dressing up as witches and ghouls. But that's just me.
Well, indeed. But, I mean, we ought to get to the point that here, if we look through history, that this is actually sort of like a festival, isn't it? It's where they are both pagan and Christian practices that evolved into what we now know as a Halloween day. But, of course, obviously, it's become quite commercial. And I know that a lot of people will point to the United States of America, you guilty folks, come on, where people now have gone into this ritual where they actually sort of now dress up as ghosts and ghoulies and start to sort of come into this technique of what's called trick and treat. You knock on somebody's door. If for some reason they give you a treat, then you walk away and no unfortunate happenings will befall them. But if they don't, in theory, a trick is played in some way. Now, that's quite evil in itself, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, the trick-or-treat idea is an interesting one. This idea of having to pay off evil is one that's very common in religions around the world. It's not present in Christianity for the very simple reason that there's a big payment of Jesus' death on our behalf to keep us safe from evil. So things are different in Christianity. And in fact, the origin of Halloween is that it used to be we believe something else. It used to be a different festival. A few thousand years ago, maybe about 2,000 years ago, if you think about that, that's about the time of the start of Christianity. But about that time, the Celts were living across Europe, across Britain, and over into Ireland. And they had a festival known as the Samhain Festival, which was this... It was a celebration at the end of the summer and autumn and your beginning of the winter time. The boundary, it was believed by the Celts, between the worlds of the living and the dead was somehow blurred at this time because you were going from the time of growth into the time of death, the winter time. So at that time, they celebrated Samhain, who was sort of this this figure who brought the ghosts of the dead back to Earth. So you can see how the ghostly type things coming to it. And witches, I guess they sprung up from people like the Druids and people who were the ones who taught this sort of nonsense. And they would get together and they would ask the spirits to possess them, make prophecies about who would live through the winter, all that sort of, that class of animal. Now, Christianity took it over in an attempt to use what was there but make it Christian, which was generally the principle of how Christians brought the best out of culture, I would say. As a Christian, I think that the Christianizing is good, but you don't want to ditch all the good things about culture. So the Pope of the time, of the 7th century, about 600 AD, about that time, he dedicated that particular day, November the 1st, as being All Saints' Day. Now, there had already been an All Saints' Day in May, so they were making a deliberate attempt to take away from this celebration of what is effectively the Night of the Dead. So also, All Saints' Day being the next day, the night before, is the eve of All Saints' Day, the eve of Hallows' Day, so Halloween, hence the name.
Mm.
So that's where it all comes from. That's a sort of a brief potted history of it.
Yes, no, very good. Well, look, I want to get to where we are now. And I know a lot of our listeners will be sort of cowering behind their seats, thinking, oh, no, not again, another year where they're just terrorized by parents and children racing up and down the streets, knocking on their doors. Now, what on earth do they do here? So in the spirit of the theme of the show, which is how to handle Halloween. And this is a little guide that I'd like to give to some of our listeners, and maybe it might just sort of help you on your way. Hideous happenings come on Halloween as children's faces turn a shade of green. Witches and warlocks wail at your door, trick-or-treating and begging for more. So how do you deal with society's darker side and still keep your dignity and sense of pride? Well, pickle the parents and then parcel them home, or plant them in the garden like a ghastly gnome. If they wildly waver, wielding plastic bloodstained axes, tell tales and terrors of revealing their unpaid taxes. Throw their iPhones into deep water, because it's sort of an apple, then watch them drastically drown as they clamber and grapple. For the chilling children at your doorstep dressed as witches, pretend you've been to hospital, then break open your stitches. Those that demand treats and are looking for fun, give them laxative sweets and watch them run. Should a gang appear as gruesome ghoulies and ghosts, nail them all high upon the neighbour's garden posts. But if they continue to bother, you tell them to be more wary, and that you're a pro-EU supporter, which is far more scary. Sleep tight.
Yes, well, I agree with that. Very scary. Yes,
anyway, Clergyman Peter, I know that I'm going to get to the essence of this here, because you're a parent, and I know you've got some gruesome children. So are you guilty of actually sort of throwing these creatures out and monsters onto the streets and terrorizing your neighborhood?
Well, yeah, any night except Halloween, I would do that. Well, no, I think it's... Well, I put it quite succinctly before we went on air. Although I don't have a particular problem with Halloween in that, as I've said, it's a Christian festival or a Christianization of an existing pagan festival. That's fine. And the bad stuff is seen as bad, you know, the evil, the ghouls, etc. In the celebration, it's seen as bad. It's sort of showing that evil is not right. You have to pay them so they don't... give you a trick, and so you give them a treat. Now, there are three ways I want to say how to cope with that. But first of all, just about that, no, I don't send my kids out, and I've never done it, gone out and asked for such things. And if a parent sends their kids to my door, what I do is send them back to their parents. And then I usually speak to the parents and say, don't send your children round in the dark.
I would advise you to follow some of my guides.
The laxative sweets, I had not thought of that. But actually, there's two different approaches. One is to embrace the situation. One is to reject it. Now, the Americanization of it, as we might call it, as in the dressing up, the going out trick-or-treating, this side of it, has really grown in recent years. And some people who are Christians and don't want to celebrate it because of the celebrating evil side of it, and maybe also because of not wanting to see children out on the streets. But normally it's a distaste with it. So there was two different options. One is to have an alternative party on that night. So you're not home, you're at the party. And the party is a light party. This is quite common now. Scripture Union have resources for it. I and my children are going to a light party put on by a neighbouring church who are putting it on and inviting everyone to come. So we'll be going there and, you know, waving glow sticks and having fun in a church, but not mentioning Halloween at all. Now, that's one option, and that's a way of avoiding it and a way of inviting people in, because it's not just the church people who are invited. Everyone's invited. So there'll be people there who haven't really understood necessarily why there's a light party instead of Halloween. They've just gone to a party, and you know, maybe they'll appreciate the difference, because knowing this church, which is Kingdom Life Church in Wallasey, if anyone wants to look them up, they are a sort of church that knows how to have fun. So it's going to be a good night. Now, the other alternative is to embrace it. Now, the sort of famous, I guess, evangelist Ray Comfort has a method which he uses, which is he overdoes it. So when someone comes to his door, he used to, he says, cower and turn the lights off so he didn't have to deal with it, because he didn't want a trick or give them a treat. And then he thought, why am I doing this? So what he did was he got buckets of sweets and gave around, you know, a load of them, a big quality bag of sweets ready made up in a big bucket by the door, and give them an evangelistic tract and encourage them to believe in Jesus. Now, so he calls Halloween National Evangelism Day, because you have people coming to your door, you know, and they're coming to your door. They want sweets out of you. You can do what you like. So you give them a tract, explain the gospel message, explaining maybe the good part of Halloween, or maybe explaining why the evil part is evil. And of course, you don't just give them that. You don't say, I'm not giving you sweets, I'm going to give you this tract to read. You give them both. They get this attractive tract. If you want to find out about him, go to livingwaters.com. That's his website. And they sell the tracts, which you can hand out. The sweets you'll have to source separately.
Well, that's a very good idea, that you can actually use it as a sort of an entrepreneurial window of opportunity. Now, I do want to sort of mention that some countries are struggling with this particular festival, shall we say. I'm going to give an example that came up in the news recently, where Canada has started to consider how that certain costumes have to be banned because they're perceived to be politically incorrect. Now, this is a genuine situation where certain schools are wrestling with the idea of how to guide students and parents about Halloween costumes. So, for example, one of the guides say here is that not to wear the following: a cowboy and Indian costume. Apparently, that would obviously offend people in certain parts of America. Slaves, terrorists, gypsies, Rastafarians, and urban ghetto resident. I could think of other things. It didn't mention Donald Trump. Now, I think that that would be pretty scary if you turned up as Donald Trump.
Well, yes, I saw an excellent a picture put up on social media of someone in a Donald Trump outfit leading someone in a Hillary Clinton outfit to jail. She was in a prisoner's outfit. Very funny. Yeah. But yeah, I think that this idea of not offending people but by dressing up as them, how shall I put this? I used the phrase earlier. Oh, yes, it's stupid. That was it. That's mad. I mean, just dress up as them and have a bit of fun. Don't be ridiculous. Yeah. It's not. Yes, be politically incorrect. If people are offended by it, that's their problem.
Yes. My personal view is that, folks, you should all turn up as a clergyman. I think.
Yeah. Now, look, vicar and tarts dressing up evenings are very, very common. And you don't, you know, a lot of the vicars I know are really offended because they see themselves as the tarts.
I wonder what that is. Well, listeners, look, what do you think? I mean, do you think that this is a season for a little bit of fun? Or maybe there is something slightly more sinister. What do you think? Let us know. Why not drop us a line on www.markandpete.com and fill out the contact form. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you on this spooky season. So thanks for listening to the show, and join us again next time for more colourful and even spooky conversations with Mark and Pete.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.